Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question, please press star one on your touch-tone phone at this or any time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star two. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question that you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Remind to ask your question in English. Please hold while we poll for questions. The first question comes from Ben Theurer with Barclays.
Yeah, good afternoon. So let's see if this works. Two questions, maybe first for Tim Klein. Within the prepared remarks, and thank you very much for clarifying a few things in terms of the more short-term outlook, which you said continues to be favorable. If we look what is beyond 2022 and what's going on in the industry because of the drought right now, how do you feel about the availability and the potential impact into 2023 and beyond? And do you think there is going to be enough of an offset with what you've showed on the drop credit, which continues to be favorable and almost flat even on a sequential basis, to kind of create a new normal, so to speak, from a profitability perspective in the U.S.? That would be my first kind of set of questions.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. And what we see is the demand side of the equation is significant. And when we look at comparing it to what we had in the last cycle, it is much, much better. So in terms of cattle supply, I don't have visibility beyond 2023 because, of course, the drought is still having some impact and we haven't been able to nail that down yet. But through 2023, it appears that there are enough cattle, adequate cattle, given the capacity that's in the industry, and with the demand structure that's in place, I feel good about where we're going to be at next year. We are on the type of the side of the cycle where earnings will decline cyclically, but we're still looking at very, very healthy margins as we look at where we're at in the rest of this year and then into next year as well.
Okay, perfect. And then my second question, I'm going to ask it slow so we can translate this. My second question is about Marfrig's plans to work together with Brazil Food to optimize commercial strategies, go-to-market strategies, working more closely together on exports, on marketing, and what measures you are taking to help Brazil Foods improve the level of profitability, which has been so much under pressure.
Thank you for your question. This is Miguel speaking. When we made the investment in BRF, it made all the sense in the world. They are our top customers of our processed. They're the number one buyers from our hamburger division. We have many common areas. We are going to explore synergies. In due time, we'll be making them operational.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Guilherme Palhares with Bank of America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Two questions from our side. First, in terms of the BRF consolidation, if you could give us some color in terms of the markup that we saw and what will be the related tax events that you have related to that in terms of tax recognition of this gain. And second, looking at the exports on the South American operations, we see very strong print in terms of volumes and prices. And if you could provide some outlook for E2, what we can we expect in the second half of the year coming from that division? Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'll be answering the question about exports, and then Tang will answer the second part of your question. We've had consistent exports performance, both amount or value and volumes. In South America, we see some favorable seasonality in the second half of the year. When we break that down by geography, we could have more exports coming from Uruguay. The resumption is in the spring, September, October. In Brazil, we have more abundant cattle supply. Cattle from feedlot comes to the market, and the purchase of importer countries is usually concentrated in the third quarter. So it's regular seasonality, and it's important because it's very favorable to us. But let me point out, just like we shown in our releases, in Q2 22, when compared to first quarter of 2021, exports grew by 25% in terms of volume. When you consider that there is a likely scenario in the second half with a very overvalued US dollar when compared to Brazilian real, that will help us to continue to perform well in exports. I don't want to give you any guidance in that sense, but we have high hopes for the second quarter. I'll turn over to Tang to answer your second question. Hi, Guilherme. This is Stefan. What's your question about the tax? I think you're talking about the PPA gains in the results and future impact as to the tax rates. If that's what you want to know, that 3.8 billion gain that is impacting our net results for this year, this gain will be amortized in the next 60 months, offset with tax credits that we have accrued in our balance sheet. Most of what you see in our financial statements are results-related effects. These are offset credits. In the first half, we had negative impact in the DRE, our financial statements. It has no cash effects. And now we have a reversal with non-cash effects, only accounting effects. And tax income, it's not a good proxy on a quarter-by-quarter basis because it's away from the accounting balance sheet. It's a tax balance sheet. And you can only check that offset at year's end. Overall, your PPA concern will start to amortize as of the next quarter, and we still have 16 months to do that, and there's no cash effect as any other tax offsets.
Excuse me. This concludes today's question and answer session. And thus concludes Marfrig Global Foods SA conference call for today. Thank you very much for your participation and have a nice day.